The following program is furnished by Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. AM 790 Talk and Business presents Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next Waterfire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
Well, hello, this is Barnaby Evans, and sitting in for Bronwyn today, and we're going to be talking about a couple of things today. I think we're going to start maybe with the Fringe Festival and Josh Short, see if we can get him on. But first of all, we have Waterfire coming up this Saturday, which is going to be a fantastic lighting. We're really looking forward to it. It is Saturday night, and one of the special features we've got this night is coming up is the clean water proposal, and we have all the canoeists coming in there, and we're going to have Ray Marshall join us in a little bit from the Narragansett Bay Commission. But before that, we're going to talk a little bit about the Fringe Festival that's coming up. And that's an exciting project that we've been doing with Wilbury Theater, and we're going to have Josh Short join us, who's the director of Wilbury Theater, and talk a little bit about what that plans is. But first of all, so is Josh here? Let's bring Josh on.
Hello.
Hey, Josh. How are you?
Good.
Thank you so much for joining us on Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island.
Thank you for having me.
We're delighted to have you. And let's talk a little bit about your background, Wilbury Theater, which has been an incredibly successful, one of the lively go-to theaters for cutting-edge theater in the capital city for a long time. And it's a partnership we're really pleased to continue with you. But this is the fifth year, I think, of the Fringe Festival, Fringe BVD?
Yes, this is the fourth year, actually.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And it's definitely our biggest year so far. Working with you guys, working with Waterfire and this partnership, I think has brought a lot more attention to it. The artists applying are coming from even further away, so we've got an even more exciting selection of talent in the festival this year.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what a Fringe Festival is, first of all, so listeners will understand that. But I think the reason why you're getting so many people coming in is this is 3 years of success going into the fourth year with some really exciting things. I didn't see the first one, but I saw some great theater in the last two. And it's something we're delighted to be a partner with. And I think Providence has a burgeoning theater scene, which Wilbury is an important part of. And let's talk a little bit. Why don't you start telling us a little bit about the vision of Wilbury Theater itself, and then explain what a Fringe Theater is and why Fringe PVD is so exciting.
Sure. Well, the Wilbury Theater Group was founded more or less by accident about 7 years ago. And it was just basically it started as me and some friends just looking to produce plays where we could, be in them, as many theater companies start. After a while, it started to become clear that our tastes were gravitating towards less commercial fare, stuff that we felt like challenged the audience a little more and challenged ourselves as artists. So we started to feel like we were filling a bit of a hole in the Providence theater scene, this adventurous theater gap. So over the last 5 years or so, we've really tried to own that. And, with every production, we try and push our audience a little further and we try and push ourselves a little further. And we're really interested in creating work that feels immediate and right now for the audience and that doesn't ignore the audience in the room, but rather embraces them and makes them an essential part of the experience. So the Fringe Festival grew out of that as we're considering all these great artists in Providence and Rhode Island that don't necessarily belong to a specific theater company, but have these great talents and are performing in Mills and Olneyville and other places throughout the state, for very small audiences. So we wanted a way to kind of give them an opportunity to showcase that work to the wider audience that we're starting to get out to see our shows. So that first year, we started it, and it was just about like 30 or so of these local artists that I would just approach, and I would, you know, get together with them for a drink or coffee or something, and I would basically just, you know, ask them to please be in this festival, and we would give them 100% of the door, and I would handle booking the venues and marketing it for them.
And I'm sure they welcome that intervention. But the idea of a fringe theater, the fringe festival, we know the famous one in Edinburgh, and now all across the world people are doing this. So aside from the local aspect, what's the overall philosophical position of why someone might go to the theater on the night of the Fringe Festival?
Well, I think to be surprised. I think to see something outside the norm, to appreciate the artists who are doing this work that may or may not be, you know, Broadway bound, and to understand that not all art is created with the sole purpose of reaching a larger commercial audience, but it's created to convey very personal experiences. So I think these are like the things that I think motivate the fringe artist, if I may assume that. But I think so. And these artists don't necessarily get, you know, long runs in big houses where a lot of people come. So this gives the audience an opportunity to come see that work that would otherwise go unseen by them.
And one of the key things here is this is not a jury. There's no censorship.
Yep.
I think you were able to accommodate all the artists who wanted to participate. Sometimes you have to resort to a lottery, but we added more performance venues, I think, tonight, right? That's right.
Yeah, if we have more artists than we do stages, we do go to a lottery system, but it's completely unjuried and uncensored in every way. This year, though, we were able to fill every nook and cranny of both the Waterfire Arts Center and the other venues in order to accommodate all the artists we had apply.
And we should direct people to the website, which is www.fringepvd.org, right? Or is it .com?
Yep. Nope, .org.
.org. And I think you've got over 150 performances there. And this starts, we have an opening event on Monday night, but the actual performances start next Tuesday and go through Saturday. And there are 150 performances in those evenings. Many of them will be at the New Waterfire Arts Center at 475 Valley Street. And also they're down at the AS220 Black Box and I think at Steelyard. Where else?
And then over on RISD, there's another building that they have. We're calling it the RISD Point Street Pop-Up at 130 Point Street in the Jewelry District.
And these tend to be experimental. They can be short. They can be long. I was quite impressed with the quality of the work and the surprising range of it. I saw a performance in a hotel room at the Dean Hotel. That was the play took place in a hotel room. It was a fascinating combination of stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of really, really great stuff, and the artists are kind of seeing the spaces they're performing in for the very first time when they come too. So, seeing them adapt and really embrace the space is great.
And when you mention the space, we're holding this at the New Waterfire Arts Center, which we're delighted to be able to partner with you. And this is a nice opportunity to look at what we like about that space, which is a very flexible, designed to be multi-use sort of space. And here in under one roof, I think we've found five or six different performance venues, so you can go from one play to another, because we'd love people to come for the whole evening, choose one play. They're all timed, so you can then leave the first one, go to the second one, go upstairs to the third one, have a drink, spend the evening there, and maybe see in one sitting. And I should mention there's free parking right there. No problem about it. You can park your car, and you can look at from one to four interesting, creative, original pieces of theater, many of them Providence-based, but a good half of them coming from all across the country, right?
I think the flexibility of the new arts center actually is really exciting too, especially for us to be able to have all these, to be able to accommodate some of these really grand pieces like the metal opera, for example, or some smaller one-person shows or poetry readings, that sort of thing. The festival really runs the whole gamut.
Now, I think on the website, but we have an opening night on July 24th, which is Monday.
Yep.
And tell us about that.
So July 24th, it's going to be our Fringe kickoff party. Let's Fringe. And we have James Stanley and Jesse Hawley are two New York artists. So they'll be presenting from this book that they've recently done that documents historical acting methods. It's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek performance. We'll also have Christopher Johnson, who's a local slam poet. And we'll have music provided by the Ben Shaw Jazz Quartet. They do some really funky stuff, so we're excited about that. And we're working on a few surprises as well. We'll have free food for everybody by Fireworks Catering, and Laughing Gorilla and Revival Brewing Company are working the bar for us that night, too. So sure to be a great night.
And I think your admission ticket is basically gets you a couple of drink tickets, and you can try some locally brewed beer and some other great beer and some fantastic food. And it's an opportunity to see, as you were saying, these surprises. They're sort of excerpts or teasers or examples of some of the things you'll be able to see the whole rest of the week. So it's a great chance to, A, support Wilbury, support the Fringe, help with Waterfire's expenses, and get a drink, see each other, and start the excitement of what I think is going to be, basically we've been calling it the Fringe PVD on the Fringe of Providence on the new Winnescotucket River Arts District that's developing over near the Steel Yard.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Well, you know, Josh, I just want to take a moment to talk about Wilbury Theater because I have been so impressed with so many of the plays I've seen there, and I just want to tell you how much the community appreciates what you're doing, supports you. I think the Fringe is a great opportunity for us all to see an entirely newly creative approach there, and that's the sort of thing we'd love to do. Josh, would you stay on for a moment? We got to take a station ID for a sec here, and I'd love to catch you on the other side of it.
Sure.
Thank you.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts regional traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
4 northbound into 95, still heavy from 102 all the way up into 95 north. 95 north still slow from 37 to 10. Gets busy again as you go by 195. Let's look at 95 southbound right now. Trouble free coming into town. Just a little bit sluggish as you make your way through the Branch Ave area. 146, you're tapping the brakes as you get to Admiral Street. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Sponsored by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Learn how an insurance-covered comfortable knee or back brace can reduce your pain. Call 800-888-KNEE, 800-888-KNEE.
When towers seem like trees and roads become rivers, the Range Rover Evoque is there to guide you through the twists and turns of the urban jungle. Gaze up through the available full-glass panoramic roof to take in the city from an unexpected angle. Then cast your eyes forward and strike out to meet an environment full of unpredictable moments. Lease the Range Rover Evoque SE Premium for $299 per month for 36 months with $39.95 down and 5,000 miles per year, plus taxes, title, and registration fees due at signing. Now through July 31st. Visit LandRoverWarwick.com or call 401-461-2000 for details.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Carl, how is it you're always golfing? I thought you owned a business.
I own a Reese and Irby's robot franchise, Bob.
Robots? What do they do?
They serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt in just 60 seconds with a choice of 6 tasty toppings. I've got robots in malls, movie theaters, and hospitals, and the franchisor secured these locations for me.
Sounds so easy.
Yep, managing my robots is simple. Each takes about 2 hours of maintenance a week, leaving me plenty of time to practice my short game.
Oh, nice shot. Looks like I need to get some Reese and Irby's robots.
Easiest employees you'll ever have. Just go to FrailFranchising.com. Reese and Irby's will supply everything you need. They even secure you high traffic locations. Hey, where are you going?
To learn more about a Reese and Irby's franchise opportunity.
To learn more about your Reese and Irby's Froyo robot franchise opportunity, go now to FroyoFranchising.com and use promo code 1515. FroyoFranchising.com, promo code 1515. That's FroyoFranchising.com, promo code 1515.
Creativity takes courage. Henri Matisse. Providence College is a proud season sponsor of Waterfire Providence. Join us and visit waterfire.org. It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see. Henry David Thoreau. Narragansett Bay Commission is a proud season sponsor of Waterfire Providence. Help to keep the fires burning by donating to Waterfire today at waterfire.org.
Now, Back to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Call Bronwyn now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Well, I'm back, and this is Barnaby Evans sitting in for Bronwyn. Pleased to be able to cover for her today. She wanted to be with you. But these are two things that we're talking about today that I'm very excited about, and I can't tell you how pleased I am to be here with Josh Short and shortly with Ray Marshall. I should mention about theater, the upcoming Waterfire this coming Saturday, is which is July 22nd. But among other things, we also have some theater there because we have the Shakespeare et al. En el Verano, Shakespeare on the Summer stage, with we work with Trinity Repertory on, and they're doing Romeo and Juliet at the Waterplace Basin stage at 6 p.m. This is a partnership with the Rhode Island Latino Arts, and it's a bilingual English-Spanish adaptation of Romeo and Juliet that's being done by the Brown Trinity Rep MFA students, led by Marcello Mascaro, and he's co-directing this new adaptation with Trinity Rep Associate Artistic Director Tyler Dombrowski. And I'm sure that's someone, Josh, so you've worked with both of those people, I'm sure.
Yeah. I haven't gotten a chance to see it yet. Fringe has been a little, but I'm looking forward to catching Romeo and Juliet myself, actually.
I know there'll be more performances. This is the second performance that's been at Waterfire, and of course that's for free. It's completely free, open to the public. It's an interesting event. It's mic'd. Starts at 6 p.m. in Waterplace Basin. And I recommend it. It's an intriguing thing. And the other thing, the reason why you might want to go down there and do that, is we have another performance coming up just a little bit about after 8 o'clock, after Romeo and Juliet. Festival Ballet Providence will be doing their annual Summer Dance Intensive project with us, which has a series of excerpts of works they've worked on with their summer. They have students come from all across the country to work with a great dance program at Festival Ballet. And they've got choreography by Danielle Davidson, Adrian Hawkins, and Alex Lantz. As usual, all this information is on the Waterfire website. If you ever look at the schedule and click on the date, all the details of things that come up. And that starts at 8, and it's going to end with an excerpt from the Firebird, which will dovetail into the lighting of Waterfire, appropriately enough. And, we had a conference today that the Mellon Foundation held at AS220 that was talking about just what a incredibly integrated and cooperative arts community we have here in Rhode Island. And all of these are great examples of how we all work to both support each other, but to also add new aspects of what people are doing for an interesting arts experience. So we're so delighted to have Wilbur Theater in our midst, and we're looking forward to the Fringe PVD. Is there anything else we should say about the times of the performances, Josh?
All performances are pretty short. They're all about 45 minutes long.
But they start around the 6 o'clock, is that it?
Yes, the first performance is at 6 at Waterfire, and they're all just about an hour. Most of the performances are cash at the door. They're all very affordable. Most of them are about $5 or so. Nothing is more than $15, but be aware that not all of the artists, since 100% of the door goes directly back to the artist, it is the artist working the door, and not all of them are able to take credit cards.
That's a good point. Bring cash, support the artists. All the money goes to the artists. The costs for doing this, Wilbury has raised independently for, because there are all sorts of costs, power, space, chairs, rentals, electric, lighting equipment. And are these all family friendly, or some of them are a little more adult than others? Is that all available on the website to find out what might be appropriate?
It is available on the website. Most of the shows during the week I would not describe as kid friendly, but we are doing our third annual Family Fringe Day on Saturday the 29th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., and that'll feature performances by the Manhattan Avenue Project, which is a great local organization that does theater by children for adults and children, and as well as some local artists doing poetry and music and that sort of thing. We'll have a bounce house graciously donated by the YMCA of Providence, So all sorts of great stuff, and it's all totally free on Family Fringe Day. So from 2 to 5, bring the kids down.
And that's at a different location, right? We should tell people where that is.
It's at Waterfire. It's in the Waterfire Arts Center parking lot, actually.
So, oh, it is. Okay, I thought we were looking at a park. Okay.
No, we've done it in parks in the past, but trying to consolidate the performances this year, we decided to keep it all at Waterfire. And the parking lot is nice and brand new, so...
Okay, great.
Take advantage of it.
So it's all right there at 475 Valley Street. So we welcome everyone down there. And please come Monday night for the fundraiser and the introduction. I think that's going to be a fun evening. I think to get tickets for that, can you go to Fringe PVD or to Waterfire Providence?
Tickets are available for the opening night celebration on the fringepvd.org website.
Okay. And I encourage people to do that. It helps cover the costs of the production. And in addition for your ticket, you'll get some drink tickets so that it basically converts into some great drinks from Laughing Gorilla and the other food providers for that night. Food's free, I believe, right?
Yes. Fireworks Catering is donating all the food.
And they do a great job. We have worked with Fireworks Catering before. I'm always impressed with what they do. Well, Josh, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be starting off on this partnership, and I will see you every single night of the Fringe PVD.
All right.
And probably all the nights in between,
me.
Too, as we get ready, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you so much for what you and everyone at Wilbury do, and we look forward to the Fringe PVD Fest, and that's fringepvd.org. And now, what I'd love to do, how many minutes do we have? Okay. We'll do an introduction. We were going to start with Ray Marshall, and we had some control room trouble trying to connect with him. But if Ray is there, I would love to do a quick introduction to Ray and why we're so excited to be talking to him. And then after the break, we'll finish out the show talking about some of the accomplishments of the Narragansett Bay Commission. Ray, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Ray. I'm sorry. We had meant to start with you, and we had something confused at our end here. And one of the things that we'll be doing this Saturday on the 22nd is something that we first started with you years ago when you started the tunneling project for the CSO, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But how long ago was that? This has been a project that you're in the midst of, but you've done the first two phases.
Yes, we have. We've done the first two phases. We started the planning way back in the 90s and actually started construction on the first phase of the program, in particular the tunnel, in 2001, and then we worked for about 7 years opening the tunnel in late 2008, and then after another year of design two for phase two, then we started work on our actual construction on phase two, and worked on that through say the end of 2015 when we got everything open for phase two. So it's been a fairly long period of time.
Well, it is actually an impressively huge project, and I don't know whether Rhode Islanders realize that this has gotten national and international attention for the dramatic increase in water quality in Narragansett Bay that this project has made possible, and that's one of the things we want to talk about. You have another phase you're doing, but people always get a little confused about this. This is the solution to a long-time historical problem, which many cities in the older parts of the United States have, of a combined sewage and stormwater system, where when we had heavy rain, occasionally some of the sewage would go into the stormwater system and out into the bay, causing a whole series of health problems and nutrient problems in the bay, water quality problems, health, you know, all sorts of things. And this was a very difficult problem to solve, and Narragansett Bay looked at it, studied it for a long time, and decided really to invest in the long-term best solution, which was not simple. And I'll let you describe it. It's these massive tunnels that you've carved out of the rocks in order to prevent that sewage from getting into the Narragansett Bay.
Yes, that's essentially correct. We looked at various alternatives and costed them all out, and looked around not only the country but the world to see where what types of technologies they had employed, and decided that the tunnel was probably the best opportunity to get a very certain outcome. And that tunnel that we built in the first phase back, like I said, from 2001 to 2008, involved going down about 300 feet below ground, starting here at Fields Point, and then heading north up toward downtown Providence. We essentially paralleled Allen's Avenue and the Providence River on the west side, went up underneath where you hold water fire. We were probably working on some days that you were holding water fire, and you didn't even realize it.
Oh, we felt the dynamite.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, the only real blasting we did in a lot of the work was when we had to go, when we first started the tunnel, and then at certain locations where
We have to, I'm sorry, let's continue. We have to do a short station ID, and then the rest of the show is you and I. So we'll get into the details in just a few minutes.
And I want to sleep with you in the desert tonight.
The one place to buy your cigars and electronic cigarettes is Wonderland Smoke Shop. With over 250 fine cigar facings at the best prices. They also stock dry herb vaporizers, humidors, American-made e-liquids, rebuildable tanks, organic cotton and silica, vape pens, coils and accessories with dozens of tobacco flavors and various nicotine strengths, plus hookah supplies. Open 7 days a week, 666 East Avenue in Warwick. Call 823-3134. Wonderland Smoke Shop.
Hey folks, Travis here from Bruno & Co. Auctioneers. Join us Thursday, July 27th between 3 and 6 p.m. at the Hamilton House in Providence for verbal appraisals on your antiques and collectibles. We are always looking for antiques and art, but especially now we are interested in your comic book collections in your attic or basement. You know you have been staring at them for years. Call us at 533-9980 to schedule a free in-home evaluation and be sure to visit our website, brunoandco.com.
That's B-R-U-N-E-A-U.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91-BIBLE.
This is Amy from Moriarty's Fence, the Invisible Fence brand pet safety experts. The Invisible Fence brand works for all dogs, all breeds, all ages. We start training puppies as young as 10 to 12 weeks old, and we also keep cats safe at home, too. The key to our 27 years of success is our customer service and pet training support. Our installed outdoor safety solutions start as low as $7.99 and can be customized for your property. Call 800-225-0808 for a free design and pet consultation visit, or schedule online at MoriartysFence.com. At Moriarty's Fence, we work hard so you can rest easy knowing your pet is safe at home.
But it just makes sense.
And it's invisible.
It's the fence that makes sense. Get the invisible fence.
Moriarty's Fence, 800-225-0808. Keeping pets safe since 1986. Moriarty's Fence reminds you to support your local shelter, adopt, volunteer, donate.
Now, back to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Call Bronwyn now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And this is Barnaby's sitting in for Bronwyn today. And our one of our two guests today is Ray Marshall, the executive director of the Narragansett Bay Commission. And we were talking about this extraordinary project that's been planned for 30 years and underway for the last 15 years of construction or so, that's had such a dramatic increase on the quality of water in Narragansett Bay. And you were talking about some of the subtleties of the construction project. This was a massive construction project, yet it was entirely underground. all we see are the three wind turbines down at the NBC plant out at Fields Point, which is getting free power to pump everything. And I guess one of your challenges is a little bit is this was a big project, an important project, a significant project, a huge improvement to our environment, but it's all underground.
Right. We actually did a video going back at least a dozen years entitled The Biggest Project You'll Never See.
Right.
And if anyone would like a copy of that CD, they can contact our public relations group. You can reach out to Jamie Sammons, and she'll make sure that she gets you one.
And I believe we have either the whole thing or a segment of it up on the WaterFire website as well. There's a whole page. If you go to the current WaterFire website and see recent posts, it'll be right there, or do a search for Narragansett Bay, and you'll see a whole series of very impressive graphs of before and after, and there's a link to the largest project you'll never see, and a lot of other impressive information that I'll go over with. But, water quality, we sometimes think of it as an abstract thing that we sort of think is a good idea, but it directly translates into all sorts of things. I understand that they were able to open one of the fisheries that had been closed for 70 years. It's had closures, and now it's been more or less open for shellfishing.
That is correct. It was called Conditional Area B, and the upper part of the bay, which went from basically the northern tip of Prudence Island up northward, and encompassed about 3,700 acres of shellfishing, and that was closed for every time we had a rainstorm in excess of 1.5 inches of rain. Prior to the tunnel going online, it was 1 inch of rain, and that now is completely open. It's no longer conditional. We've been monitoring along with DEM for several years now, documenting what happens after storms, how much actually goes overboard, and where all the bacteria might exist and how long it takes them, to dissipate. So that was a big step. In addition, conditional area A, which goes from Connecticut Point southward, that can now stay open until we hit about 1.2 inches of rain. At one point in time, after a half an inch of rain, that area was shut down. So overall, we're talking about, our DEM estimates, that in the upper part of that conditional area, we'll probably get an additional 85 days of shellfishing annually, and in the remaining waters, it'll be an additional 35 days. So an actual documented improvement that has resulted in, benefit to the citizens of Rhode Island and the shellfishing industry.
That's 3 months more of shellfishing.
Yes.
And this isn't just for the leisure of it. This is actually a public health issue. In the past, before you made this improvement, there was a real reason why you had to check these regular listings of what was happening, because the bay was so polluted that you could have gotten quite sick. And I think that's just now, in addition, so there's less bacteria, there are more beach days. The other project you've done simultaneously with this was a whole nitrogen reduction effort, which went on sort of in parallel, right? It's related, but it's a different further improvement to water quality.
Yes, it is, and it actually addresses a different pollutant, whereas the CSO program addressed the fecal coliform levels, the bacteria levels. The nitrogen improvements address just that. Nitrogen in wastewater is just like the fertilizer you might put on your lawn. It causes biological growth, and we did our first upgrade to our Buckland Point treatment plant, which is up in the very northern tip of East Providence, just below the Pawtucket line. We did a project there. We came down to Fields Point. We had another project that we did between 2009 and 2011, and then we had to go back up to Buckland Point to finish up the work there. That has resulted in a 68% decrease in the amount of nitrogen loading that goes into the bay from our plants, and others like Cranston, Warwick, West Warwick, East Providence are also doing their own projects getting similar results. So collectively, we've really made a big impact on the clarity of the water, in the Providence River and upper Narragansett Bay.
And more than clarity, the nitrogen feeds also algae, but it also can contribute to fish kills because of oxygen depletion from the algae in the water. And does it also have any impact on these poisonous tides that show up?
You know, I'm not really sure what the tie-in is there. I mean, a lot of those poisonous tides that we've been seeing very recently are things that have occurred off the coast of, coast of Massachusetts and Maine, out in areas where you wouldn't expect there to be much pollution
okay.
at all.
Right.
So I think the scientists are still trying to figure out how those might be connected. I know I had read a paper at one time that indicated that sometimes when you remove one species of algae, which we do by the nitrogen removal, that it promotes better conditions for another type of algae.
That could be, yep. I could see that. But, you know, the seafood economy in Rhode Island is, you know, I think I read on the website we put up for you, it was $1 billion, am I remembering that right?
And, yes, the seafood industry in Rhode Island is about $1 billion, that's correct.
So adding 3 months of potential expanding the area that can be fished that's healthy and safe, this is not, you know, some pipe dream that someone thinks is a good idea. This has real impact on jobs, on public safety, on people's opportunity for recreation, for fishing, for swimming, all of that. And it makes Rhode Island such a great place to live. So I think it's just... the reason why we do Clear Currents at Waterfire is we want to draw more attention to the huge value of the sophisticated engineering that you guys are doing at Narragansett Bay Commission, and the commission has been a national and an international leader on this, as I understand.
Yes, we have. We actually belong to an organization called the National Association of Clean Water Agencies, and It's a group of about 300 utilities like ours throughout the country who all get together to work toward making our industry better, to making the regulations more achievable, and to keeping the work as affordable as possible to our ratepayers. And many of those organizations are calling us, coming to visit us, and looking at what we've done because they have similar problems. As you started off this segment, you mentioned that other large urban centers, you know, throughout the country have problems similar to ours. We've just been out ahead of the curve a little bit on this, and so now our success we're sharing with others, and several of them are taking the same approach.
And this, the original issue, is something that we didn't know better back when the sewer systems were originally planned, and no one really understood the complex interplay
right.
of the whole ecosystem. But basically, the way we originally set up the sewers, they combined, and it was very difficult to disentangle them. And so this is a problem you see up and down the entire eastern coast, east coast, I'm sure, and maybe well beyond that, I'm not sure.
Yes, I mean, if you go west as well, cities like Cleveland and Detroit and Chicago and
sure.
St. Louis,
yep.
They all have systems similar to ours, and you're right. You know, if you go back more than 100 years, they didn't understand exactly what was going on with, you know, what sewage caused. In fact, if you go way back into the 1800s in Providence, there were more horses than people in Providence, if I remember the
number
correctly. So there's all that material that they had to get off the streets and away from where people were living.
Sure. I hadn't even thought about that, yeah.
At one point, it went into the nearest river, and then they decided, wow, these rivers are really... getting bad, so then they ran a pipe along the rivers and brought it down to the Fields Point area and dumped it in down here because there was no one living down here at the time. And then they sent a couple of engineers from the city of Providence to Paris to study that system for several years. Then they came back and they decided that what they needed to build was some type of a chemical precipitation plant here at Fields Point, and that was about 1900. And that was one of the first treatment plants in the United States located right here at Fields Point.
So, Ray, what I'm just learning is that actually the Narragansett Bay Commission, or its preceding agency, has been a leader in responsible engineering and leadership of new best solutions for a long time.
Yes, that is correct.
Well, congratulations. I didn't know that. It doesn't surprise me because actually Rhode Island was, you know, we were very engaged with industrial improvements, everything from the fire sprinkler to, the improved fire insurance systems and all that sort of stuff, the factory mutual insurance system and fire safe buildings. A lot of that stuff was stuff that was, or the, you know, the Scituate Reservoir, water quality. These were things that Providence was very engaged with. So it makes sense, and I'm glad you're continuing that leadership tradition. You know, one of the things that I was talking about the invisibility of the tunnels, but tell us about those three big wind turbines we see. They certainly are pretty impressive across the bay.
Well, we first started exploring the, you know, the possibility back probably in 2010 or so, and then you know, when we ran the numbers, we decided that it looked like a wise decision. We knew that a power cost or a power use was going to increase with all the new facilities that, you know, that we're bringing online, whether it was the, you know, the pump station for the tunnel or the higher levels of treatment. And so we very successfully erected these three turbines. They went online late in 2012. And since that time, they have produced about 45% of the power that we need to run the Fields Point treatment plant and the tunnel pump station. So
that's impressive.
That is just about, actually it's a little better than what we expected. Our calculations showed us we probably produced about 40%, so they're actually running more efficiently and more effectively than, you know, than we had originally calculated. But they are true net metering units. That is, they're on our side of the meter. So when they are running, we're using all the power that they generate, plus we are importing power from National Grid. There are times, though, when they generate so much power that we can push the power back out onto the grid.
Well, we like that.
Essentially spin the meter backwards, and so we get credit for that on our bill.
Ray, we're going to come right back to you. We've got to place a couple of more ads, and then I've got some other questions for you right on the other side of this.
Okay.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
All right, busy coming up four still. You're doing a little bit better now. It's busy from Frenchtown Road up to 95. 95 northbound. Watching that crash near Jefferson Boulevard. Looks like it's all cleaned up. Should be able to get through there better now. Further on up on 95 northbound, we cleaned out that crash by 295. Things better there. Coming in on 195 west, slow from about Pawtucket Ave all the way into the split. 95 southbound, busy as you go by 146. Stays that way all the way down past 10 in Cranston. I'm Rich Teeter with you right now, traffic.
Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Drug or alcohol problems for you or a loved one can be solved, and with insurance, treatment may be at little or no cost. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now, 800-430-4149.
Listen up, homeowners looking to make changes in your home. This is Matt Allen here for Northeast Kitchen and Flooring Center. Now's the perfect time. Whether you're looking for a small remodel of a kitchen or a bathroom or a complete renovation, their service and pricing cannot be beat. Everyone works for them. They handle everything from plans to the final installation, and you'll receive weekly emails with a full schedule of your project. So do what I did. Call Northeast Kitchen and Flooring now to take advantage of 10% off all Waypoint cabinets. And make sure you check them out online at nekitchenandflooring.com.
Attention property owners. This is David from Sampson Realty.
And this is Marty. If you're considering selling your property, then you should give us a call. We can help you come up with an asking price that makes sense.
Our experienced agents are very friendly and helpful and will assist you every step of the way.
So please call us at 401-454-5454, visit SampsonRealty.com, or just stop by our office at 346 Wickenden Street on Providence's East Side.
Thank you from Sampson Realty.
How sure are you that your taxable accounts are being managed in a tax-optimized way? Hi, I'm Andy Smith, and at Financial Engines, we've seen people pay too much in unnecessary taxes because they don't have a retirement plan that aligns their financial goals with tax-efficient planning. But what does that mean for you? Well, it means that when you sell assets, or rebalance, or reallocate investment accounts, you might be paying thousands of dollars in unnecessary taxes. As America's largest independent investment advisor, according to Investment News, Financial Engines is there for more than 9 million people. We provide objective, personal and comprehensive planning advice. Don't take chances with your financial future. Make sure that your taxable accounts are working for you the way that they should. Call Financial Engines, 800-791-7210, and we'll connect you with a financial advisor in your area. We'll help create a plan to make sure that you're maximizing these potential money-saving tax opportunities. Call Financial Engines today, 800-791-7210, for your free, no-obligation financial review. That's 800-791-7210.
In the morning, Yankees baseball, Celtics basketball.
Now, back to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Call Bronwyn now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
This is Barnaby sitting in for Bronwyn today, and we've been talking first about the Fringe PVD Festival, and now we've been talking to the Narragansett Bay Commission, to Ray Marshall, the executive director. And I'm going to talk a little bit about clean currents in a moment. But, Ray, you were talking about those big, about you were able to save money with the wind power to collect all that. So how tall are those three? They're just very impressive looking.
The hubs upon which the blades spin is about 220 feet in the air, and then each blade is like 135 feet. So they reach up about 360 feet to the very tip of the blade when it's perpendicular to the ground. So
is that the tallest thing in the state?
No, it's not the tallest thing in the state, but it's probably one of the more prominent features because there's really nothing else around us, that's anywhere near close to that height. So.
Well, I think that was a great statement about the sort of energy future, the way you guys are looking at that, because, of course, all that stormwater you need to pump, and now you're using the wind to do 45% of that. That's great.
Now, I would like to add, if you don't mind, we also, because these worked out so well, that we purchased three of the wind turbines that were built down in Coventry. There was a wind farm of about 10 or 11 wind turbines that were built down there. Other communities also bought into that project. West Warwick and Coventry, I believe, are two. And so we own three of the wind turbines down there. And so those are performing because they're actually at a higher elevation than ours. They're not necessarily taller when you stand next to them, but because they are at a higher elevation, they actually produce a little more power than R3. And that is metered. We get credit against the remainder of our usage that our wind turbines are not covering, which includes the Buck and Point treatment plant, as well as the main office building, our laboratory. And so overall, we're probably getting right now around 50% of our power from renewable sources. And we are very close to signing a contract after a long procurement process for solar power, about another 10 megawatts of solar power. And with that, the wind turbines, and the one final piece is we're going to utilize the biogas that we generate at Buckland Point to run an engine. And at that point, we should be producing, or we should be getting 100% of our power needs commission-wide from renewable sources.
That's very impressive. I think the public, knows how much work goes into these things, sort of, but maybe not the sort of national leadership that you guys are showing. I didn't know that you were anywhere near to 100%. That's fantastic. And as I remember, you used to have an experimental project there, which was a Green Arc, bioremediation plant that, again, was very, very early. I think that was long before anyone was looking at that.
Yes, that was probably late 80s, early 90s that was being worked on, yes.
And that was a small-scale test pilot that I know now some people are doing more of that. Now, speaking of the future and looking ahead, you have a third phase of this project, which hasn't started yet, but what's the timing of that? And that will bring even further improvements to the water quality, right?
That is correct. Phase three, as we're calling it, is occur almost exclusively in our Buckland Point area, and we'll build another tunnel starting at the Buckland Point treatment plant that will parallel the east side of the Seekonk and Blackstone Rivers, and it'll extend up to just about the Central Falls Pawtucket city lines, and it'll be similar in size and capacity, and we'll use a tunnel pump station there as well to empty it when the rainfall allows us to, so we can give it full treatment just like we do here at Fields Point. And that will result in, I think, equally dramatic water quality improvements in the Blackstone and Seekonk Rivers to what we've seen in the Providence Rivers and up in Narragansett Bay. The timing of it, we're working on the design now. We're very early in design. We've been working to optimize the plan. We're working with DEM very cooperatively in terms of working on exactly the final components of it, and the time that they're going to give us to do it. But we feel right now we'll be under construction in about 3.5 years, and that it will probably take us about 20 years or so to actually put it all in place. But, you know, we'll do it in phases. We're not going to do it all at one time to spread out the cost, to try to keep the rates from growing too much too fast on our ratepayers. And so as we can afford the subsequent phases, we will start to bring those into the fold.
Well, Ray, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to take my remaining minutes to talk a little bit about the clean currents and what's coming up. But I want to thank you for being on the show and for sharing all this good news. And I'm very impressed with what you guys are doing at the Narragansett Bay Commission. So thank you for keeping an eye on the water quality for the whole state.
Okay, well, thank you for letting us share our story.
Thank you, Ray. Now, the reason why we're talking about this is this has been a long-time partnership with where Providence, Waterfire Providence, of course, occurs on the rivers in Providence, and we have seen a very real increase in the water quality, but also increase in the amount of species and variety of species we see in the water. And we've been celebrating that with something we've been calling clear currents. Going back to, I think, when they first started the first tunnel, and the way we do that is we invite, 50 or 60 canoeists to come onto the river, and each of them have these large illuminated koi, Japanese koi kites on the canoes, and they swim around or they paddle around in schools of fish with these illuminated fish going up and down the river. And we did that to symbolize the fact that the fish are coming back and the river quality is getting better and the water quality, now we can eat more food out of the bay and we can swim in it more. And it was a way of capturing, in a way of beauty and a moment of enjoyment, the fact that the bay is getting better and better. And it's something we've been pleased to do as a way to draw attention to improvements in water quality and the great work that Narragansett Bay Commission has been doing for all these years. And we're going to have to add more fish next year because the water quality keeps getting better and better. But I urge people to come down. So the next lighting is July 22nd. And our sponsors are Fidelity Investments and Amica Insurance, two longtime supporters of Waterfire that we are very, very thankful for their support. They allow us to produce the event. And then Narragansett Bay Commission is our partner on the canoe event. And come on down at 6 o'clock, where we're going to start with the Romeo and Juliet by the Trinity Brown MFA Partnership. It's a new production of it, both in Spanish and English, and completely accessible and available to both. It's in Water Place Basin starting at 6. And then following that, a little after 8 o'clock, when we do the lighting, Festival Ballet, we'll be doing a ballet dance performance. And that's going to end with the Firebird. And then as the Firebird majestically takes off into the lighting of the fires on the boats, these 50 fish will come down to form a train following the Firebird down through the middle of the lighting of the fires. And it's just going to be a beautiful celebration of everything from theater to dance to music to cleaning up the environment to art. And it'll be a wonderful night. All made possible by our main sponsors, Amica Insurance and Fidelity Investments. So I hope you'll be able to make it. And the next fire after that is on Saturday, August 5th, which we'll talk about next week. So it's been, we actually have a lighting of Waterfire tonight as well for a conference in Water Place Basin, if anyone wanted to come by. Again, as usual, it's open for free for everybody. Please consider supporting Waterfire with your donations, and all the information is on our website at www.waterfire.org. Talk to you soon. Look forward to hearing you from next week and hope to see you this Saturday.